What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Between Two Tackles. I'm your host, Alex Spinelli, and alongside me, as always, is Ray Volo Di Montalbano, also back on the pod with us. Fellas, how we feeling? We got a two-round mock for the people today.
Two rounds with trades for the first time. I love it. The trades make it all the more interesting. Hopefully, we don't go a little too overboard, but I think we should be good.
Yeah, no, some of these trades are downright silly, and I love that because when it comes to draft day, a lot of the trades and, of course, picks we see, we perceive as silly. So I think it definitely brings another zest to the pod.
Yeah, this draft was classic Kevin Costner.
Like, yeah.
It really was.
Oh, this is draft day.
Yeah. Great. I love it. So the order will be Dean, myself, Ray. Don't think we've done that order since we've been doing this. Is mock 5.0. So Dino, you are starting us up with the Chicago Bears at the 101.
Yeah, like I said, we're going to keep it a little zesty. We'll do some things differently, but the first pick will not be one of those things that we do differently. In a QB class that is just absolutely stacked, you know, and has potential to be really great, he's just in a class of his own, and that's going to be Caleb Williams. Don't overthink the pick. Bears go Caleb.
Love it. I'm on the clock here at the second pick with the Washington Commanders. I got them taking Drake May here. I still have Drake May as my QB2. Jayden Daniels right now is the betting favorite to go number two. So we'll see how that all unfolds in the next few weeks. But I really do love Drake May's fit in this offense with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson can really throw the ball over the middle to those guys. So Drake May here at two for Washington. Ray, you're on the clock here at three with the New England Patriots.
Yeah, so for me, I think that those two quarterbacks were a tier of their own. I think New England's roster right now is just so depleted of talent where I think they need to get out of this pick and accumulate more assets and really build a foundation before they kind of throw a rookie quarterback to the wolves here. So I'm going to start hitting the phones, try to call some people. Minnesota doesn't pick up, though.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, it was pretty fucked up. That was the spot I was looking to go to. But I'm going to call the Giants here. I think this is perfect for the Patriots because they fall to six and they can still get an elite player in this draft. And for the Giants, they're going to trade 6, 70, and a 2025 second to move up a couple spots. And they get back 3 and 103 this year. So pretty much they're trading a 2025 second and then moving down from their third round pick to the fourth round with New England. And instead of going to get a quarterback, I'm going to get Marvin Harrison Jr., the best player in this draft. I don't think this is a reasonable price for that. There's no QB premium. I think the points pretty much equal out in the draft trade chart. And the Giants go get Daniel Jones, a true number one receiver that they haven't had since Odell left. So I think this makes sense for them. And maybe if Drake May was there, they'd consider going for the quarterback route. But I think right now you stick with Daniel Jones and try to surround him with some more talent.
Yeah, I think this was an interesting move because obviously I have Marvin Harrison as my number one player in this draft. But I thought it was interesting with, you know, Malik Nabers still hanging around, Roma Dunze still hanging around for the Giants to give up assets to go get another receiver. I thought it was interesting, but hey, if you love your guy, you love your guy. Dino, you are back on the clock here at four with the Arizona Cardinals with the first of their two picks in the first round.
Mm-hmm. And in this scenario, I fear the Arizona Cardinals are a little bit disappointed, but can't be too disappointed with, you know, the 1B receiver in this class being Malik Nabers. And I believe they're just going to go ahead and rush that card in. Obviously, they lose Hollywood, and this wide receiver room needs to be revamped ASAP very badly. Got to get Kyler some help. And they just go with Malik Nabers, who's just an absolute freak and definitely has the potential to be the best wide receiver in this draft, even with, you know, Marvin Harrison, a generational talent definitely in there as well.
Yeah, I think if the board ends up falling this way with Marvin Harrison going at three, I know you couldn't get a deal done with Ray or myself, but I think this would be a spot that Arizona would be looking to call out of if the board ended up falling this way. You guys agree?
Oh, without a doubt. I did forget to add there. There were some stingy ass GMs lines, but I was calling everyone. The Cardinals called everyone in this scenario, but everyone was fine with standing pat. So sadly, they needed to just run a card in, and Malik Nabers is definitely their next guy.
I mean, I don't necessarily think the Cardinals have to trade out of this spot. I think they have, what, like seven picks in the top, like 103 or something along those lines. They have so many assets, two first-round picks. I think, and I don't think Malik Nabers is a reach here. So I think you get player position of need. Stick at four, you still have that 23rd pick, I think, to work with. So I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think it's a reach either. I'm just also thinking about the process last year of them. Would they trade out of three? They move to 12, and then they move back into six. So with all the picks that they have, they can do a lot of maneuvering in this draft. But I agree. I don't think this is a reach, but I think at some point these quarterbacks are going to be some teams are going to be calling for quarterbacks. So I think this would be a spot that they may want to trade out of. But Malik Nabers is such a good player that this is a great pick for them still at four. I'm on the clock here at five with the LA Chargers. The Vikings finally answer the phone for somebody. They didn't want to talk to New England. They didn't want to talk to Arizona, but they will talk to Jim Harbaugh and the LA Chargers. So we got a trade here. The Vikings are giving up 11, 23, and most likely a 2025 two to move up to number five for pick five and then 105 in the fourth round. They're drafting J.J. McCarthy here. Now, I'm not in love with J.J. McCarthy, but I do think that the Minnesota Vikings are in love with J.J. McCarthy, and I really think he fits well in this scheme. I think this is a popular place that we mocked J.J. McCarthy going to. So even with Jaden Daniels out there, I think McCarthy fits this scheme and this team so much better than Jaden Daniels. So McCarthy going off the board at pick five for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking about that fit for, I feel like, months now. I love it. I think it's good because he doesn't have to start right away either, which is ideal for J.J.
Right. Shout out, Sam. The sixth pick is the New York Giants. Ray, you are on the clock here. This pick actually flipped to the New England Patriots with their trade up for Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, I think this is one of the best case scenarios for the Patriots. You accumulate some more assets and you go get the pretty much consensus OT1 in Joe Alt from Notre Dame. So I think this makes all the sense in the world. They were able to re-sign Mike Onwenu, and there's still a major hole at that left tackle spot. I think the projected starter right now is Connor McDermott, so not ideal. Go get some bookend tackles for your eventual young QB and really get a foundation in place before you throw someone out there to the wolves to get absolutely murdered. So I think this makes a lot of sense.
Right. Dino, you are on the clock here at pick seven with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, so the Titans, they get a call from the Raiders, actually. And this is an organization that has just been stalling and without much direction for a while now, especially since, you know, I would say probably Gruden even before that. So I think they need to make a splash. They have Antonio Pierce now, who seems like the guy who could potentially pick up these pieces and bring this organization back to what it used to be. And they're going to trade up and to seven. They're going to give 13 and 44 for seven and 146. And with this pick, they're going to take Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. New offensive coordinator Luke Getsy's scheme is just tailor-made for Jaden. Play action, deep shots, and QB running schemes. So I think this is a perfect fit and something to make this fan base excited again.
Yeah, Ray, how you feel about this fit?
I think it's fun. I think you don't really see it too often for some reason. I guess with the Gardner Minshew contract, I don't really have to trade up, but this just seems like a Raiders type of pick, you know? Really, I think the fan base would get really excited, and this is a team that they have a pretty good infrastructure in place. So I think it would be a nice, easy transition for Jaden Daniels with those receivers in that room, and I think it's probably one of the best fits for him.
Right. I like it. I'm on the clock here at eight with the Atlanta Falcons. I got them taking first defensive player off the board, Quinyon Mitchell, corner from Toledo. I think this is an interesting spot for the Falcons. I think they need some defensive help either in that secondary or along that defensive line at edge. I decided going with Mitchell here. New head coach Raheem Morris loves these big, long, physical corners. Having him and A.J. Terrell in that scheme, you can move Clark Phillips back into the slot where he should be playing his primary position. They had him on the outside a little bit too much, I think, last year. So I like Quinyon Mitchell here at eight to the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know what his odds are for first defensive player off the board, but I may end up sprinkling on that.
I don't hate it.
All right, Ray, you're on the clock here at 9 with the Chicago Bears. And their second pick of the first round, obviously taking Caleb Williams at the 101.
Yeah, so I think this is a prime spot for a trade out when it comes to actual draft day. But I think seeing as though all four QBs kind of went already in front of them, I don't know if there's going to be another QB needed team that's willing to move up. I mean, maybe past Denver, but like I don't really know who that would be. So I think right now Chicago is kind of going to be stuck and have to make this pick in this situation. I'm going to go with Jared Verse, the edge from Florida State and Albany. I just think he pairs really well in the scheme. I think him and Montez Sweat make for a nice duo, and he's someone who's just tailor-made, ready for the NFL. I think he's got one of the highest floors, if not the highest floor, out of all defensive players in this draft. And I think it gives a really nice bump for this defense that they kind of have to even it out because they've invested a lot of their assets on this offensive side of the ball, which is good. And I know a lot of people will probably be clamoring to go do it again with just because you have that rookie quarterback in place. But I think even it out and then maybe on day two or three, I guess, try to invest more in that offensive side.
Yeah, I do think they need to attack that defensive line. And I love Verse in this scheme. Can really get after it. Dino, you are on the clock here at pick 10 with our New York Jets.
Yeah, baby. And I believe in all of our mock drafts since I know that Brock Bowers is a popular one, but we've, I believe had it be a offensive lineman every time. So I am going to pick Brock Bowers here. You know, I can't remember the last time a top 10 pick has worked on a tight end. And I think that's why in all of our previous mock drafts, we have not picked Brock Bowers here. But you know, we might not have seen a tight end prospect like Bowers in a long time as well. And getting a guy who's going to instantly look like an NFL veteran, as we stated on our tight end pod, I feel like is going to be invaluable for an Aaron Rodgers and for this team that still needs, and it needs more targets. I know that we got Mike Williams, but guy gets injured immediately all the time. He will not play 16, 17 weeks. He probably won't even play 13 weeks. And Brock Bowers could be a great security blanket. Hopefully he gets back healthy quick.
Yeah. What I just want to ask you, Roma Dunze is still sitting out there. So what was kind of the thought process taking Bowers over a Dunze, especially when, you know, you just mentioned Mike Williams has been banged up. They probably need some receivers to step up. So what was the kind of the deciding factor between Bowers and
Brock Dunze? Bowers, personally, he's higher up on my draft board. And I believe he will be for the Jets as well. I know that might be a little presumptuous, but I genuinely believe that in the NFL nowadays, I feel like it's one and the same wide receiver targets. And if you could get a receiving target like a tight end, but that can also block with the proficiency that Brock can, I feel like it's too juicy. And personally, I think most teams probably have Bowers over Odunze on their board.
Right. Ray, I know you're not in love with this, but you okay with that answer?
Not particularly. I don't think the answer was good. I don't think it was well thought out at all. But I mean, I don't know. I don't hate the pick. Like I said it multiple times. I could be able to convince myself relatively quickly. But yeah, no, I think you gotta go with Odunze in that situation.
Right. Okay. So I'm gonna go through 1 through 10 here, and then we'll keep it rolling. At the 101, the Chicago Bears took quarterback Caleb Williams. 2, the Washington Commanders took Drake May, quarterback from UNC. At 3, the New England Patriots traded out with the New York Giants. The Giants moving up for wide receiver 1, Marvin Harrison Jr. At 4, the Arizona Cardinals with the first of their 2 picks in the first round took wide receiver Malik Nabers from LSU. At 5, the LA Chargers traded out. The Minnesota Vikings moving up to that 5th spot to draft their quarterback of the future, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. At 6, this is where the Patriots fell with the New York Giants. They're taking offensive tackle 1 off the board, Joe Alt from Notre Dame. At 7, the Tennessee Titans traded with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders moving up for their quarterback, Jaden Daniels out of LSU. At 8, the Atlanta Falcons take cornerback 1 off the board, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. At 9, the Chicago Bears with the second of their 2 first round picks, taking edge 1 off the board, Jared Verse from Florida State and Albany. Shout out, Ray. There you go, Ray. And then at 10, the New York Jets taking tight end 1, Brock Bowers from Georgia. I'm on the clock here at pick 11. I'm on the clock with the LA Chargers, who traded with the Minnesota Vikings. I think this is a perfect spot great value for the Chargers. Getting Rome Odunze off the board here. They need wide receiver help after they traded Keenan Allen and let Mike Williams walk. For them to accumulate 11, 23, and a second next year and also get a top three wide receiver in this draft, I think is just unbelievable value for the Chargers there at pick 11.
Yeah, they got lucky with the way the board fell for sure. That's a steal.
Ray, you're on the clock here at pick 12 with the Denver Broncos.
I'm going to go the opposite direction of a steal. I'm going to go with a little bit of a reach.
Reach!
I think there's, I guess they don't have to, but I'm going Bo Nix from Oregon. There's really no quarterback on this roster that can start games. And I think that Sean Payton...
Whoa. You're not a Jared Stidham fan?
No, not particularly. I think Sean Payton will fall in love with Bo Nix. He's played the most starts, I think, out of anyone ever in college football. I think it was like 61, if I'm not mistaken. Son of a coach. So I think he's a higher floor play where he can be like a game manager to start his career at least. And I think Sean Payton will appreciate that. He'll be someone who's easily coached, and a lot of that friction that he had with Russell Wilson, I think, will not be there.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the fit. I struggle with Bo Nix and what he's going to be at the next level. I think it's maybe high floor, but don't know if he's pushing, especially in that division where you have Mahomes and Herbert and a rebuilding sort of Raiders team. I'm just not sure where Bo Nix gets you in terms of getting to the playoffs, getting to the next level. But hey, if that's their guy, that's their guy. At 13, Dean, you're on the clock with the Tennessee Titans, who traded with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, so we traded back. So opposed to Ray's reach, this one is a steal. Now, this one is going to be perceived as a reach as well, and that's going to be interior D lineman Jimmy Newton, Jason Newton, however you want to call it, Jimmy Neutron, I like to call him. But I think that this is an awesome pick for them and absolutely something that they need. I know that they do need help on the offensive line.
No, they don't. They got Nicholas Petit-Frere and Dylan Raidens.
Dylan Raidens. They definitely do. They got to get Will Levis some more protection. But I do believe, you know, they have two early picks in the second round. So I believe they could address it there. And I just see this working perfectly for Denard Wilson's system. They're going to have a defense that's going to be, and he said it multiple times, going to be violent, attacking defense. And I know that this is a new, you know, new head coach and you know, new people across the board, but I still can't imagine the Titans not being a violent attacking defense, and they brought Denard Wilson, who's going to continue that, and just no one fits this better than Jimmy Newton. I really believe that. You know, not so long ago, Newton was regarded as a front half of the first kind of guy, and you know, since he's been hurt and he's not been making the airwaves, obviously, and all this pre-draft process. We see this all the time. Guys fall out of favor, and they fall out of all these mock drafts and fall out of, you know, everyone's top fives of positionals and dropping down draft boards. But NFL execs and scouts, they don't think like this. They don't. They keep them right where they are. And I believe on 4/16, my birthday, by the way, when he has his pro day and he shows that his foot is completely fine, I believe he's going to come back into that mid-first round conversation. And I think that Tennessee gets a steal here with the fact that they trade back and get some more assets. They add another second rounder. And they also get, in my opinion, the best interior D lineman in this draft.
Yeah, love the player, hate the fit and the pick. They need offensive line help. They just do. And I think this defensive line, while it's not the best, you still have Jeffrey Simmons. You still have Harold Landry on this defensive line. I just think they need to attack this tackle class, especially with only Joe Alt coming off the board so far. I think you had your pick of the litter. So, again, I agree with you. I think Jerzon Newton is getting pushed a little too far down boards. But for this team, I don't love this pick.
Yeah, a clear fuck up by Dean. that being said,
there's a ton of offensive line talent that's going to still be alive in the second round of this draft, and I believe they can address it there.
That's fair. I just think they have to now's their time. They have to surround Will Levis with as much talent as possible. Got to give it a fair evaluation.
And I also think we said that about teams, and they don't do it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think they've shown you that they are doing it though with the Calvin Ridley signing. and the Tony Pollard move, like, I think they are trying to surround him. So I think they are showing you that they do want to do it. You know?
I hear you. I mean, this is going to be, this is part projection. I feel like that this isn't a wild pick.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm on the clock here at 14 with the New Orleans Saints. I got them taking J.C. Latham here, offensive tackle from Alabama. Latham has moved to my second tackle behind Joe Alt. I think this is an absolute steal for them here. The Trevor Penning saga has just not worked out for them, and I think he's going to be forced to play again this year. And they're also dealing with Ryan Ramczyk's injuries, and who knows what his situation is going to be. So I think this is a situation where you can either have Latham playing right tackle in Ramczyk's place, left tackle in Penning's place, or if those guys are healthy and maybe playing well, you could have Latham playing guard. So interesting spot for the New Orleans Saints, but I think they really need to beef up this offensive line. So J.C. Latham here at 14 for the New Orleans Saints.
I like it. That's my guy.
All right, Ray, you're on the clock here at 15 with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Dallas Turner, the edge from Alabama. Chris Ballard notoriously loves the height, weight, speed guys, and this guy was, I think, debatably the best combine performer of the year. I think he'll slide perfectly across from Quiddy Pay and give him a nice 1-2-3 punch off the edge with Quiddy Pay, Ebukam, and him. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, love this. They needed some more juice along that defensive line. They were pretty power heavy along that front. So I love Dallas Turner going here at 15 to the Indianapolis Colts. Dino, you are on the clock here at 16 with the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, another blockbuster first round trade. I got the Rams trading back with the Bills. They're trading 19 and 99.
Whoa. We're on 16.
Very sorry about that.
Seattle.
Sorry. Cut that. For 16, for Seattle, I have.
Everybody, you like that one?
I went to go get a banana, and as I'm walking, I hear a trade. I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? I'm not going to lie.
I got overzealous because I'm excited to talk about that pick. So spoiler alert, there is a pick. There's trade coming in three picks. But before that, the Seahawks, they lack a lot of talent and depth in their interior of this offensive line. We know they have their bookends in Abe Lucas and Cross. So they're going to go with Talese Fuaga, who is pretty much locked in as you know, guard or interior lineman one in this draft, and one that's, you know, of course, stacked. I think Fuaga is an absolute home run. He provides stability in this pass game and then violence in the run game. And we know the Seahawks team, again, a team that's changed around its coaching staff, but one that I feel like will probably be a little bit more dedicated to run than they were last year, where they were, I think, third in the NFL in rush plays percentage, which was shocking. And additionally, you also got to keep Geno upright. He's, you know, obviously got hurt this past season. He's getting older. He definitely can't have him get taken too many licks.
Yeah, I actually really like this pick for Seattle. It's a team that's drafted really well over the past few years, and they have so many young pieces, so many areas of need. I think they can afford to maybe take another possible tackle here. And Abe Lucas was dealing with a lot of injuries last season, so if you could have one of them play the tackle spot, one of them play that guard spot, I think this works out really well for Seattle. I'm on the clock here at 17 with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I got them taking Laiatu Latu here from UCLA, the edge rusher. This isn't like a guy that I think they would normally take. They are a big traits-heavy team, and Laiatu Latu is a tape player, not a trait player. But I think what they've seen over the past few years with drafting Trayvon Walker based off of traits is that is not the best way to go about your process. You're getting a ready-made pro in Laiatu Latu, and I think this is a guy that pairs so well with Josh Allen off the edge, and then maybe you can start to move Trayvon Walker a little more to the interior, which he played a lot during his college days, if they could beef him up a little bit. So I love this fit, Laiatu Latu here at 17 to Jacksonville. Ray, you're on the clock here at 18 with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, so I'm going to go tackle Olu Fashanu here. I think for him, I feel like the discourse has kind of pushed him way farther down than he actually is going to go. I think the people are still going to be high on him. He's his movement skills and pass protection skills as a tackle are very – they're just too good to fall this far. So I think going past this point would just be stupid. I don't know how it's going to fit from year one. Orlando Brown, left tackle. He has experience playing a right tackle earlier in his career, so maybe they do that. And Trent Brown, they just signed to a cheap one-year deal on the right side. So whether Olu plays left, right, sits a year – I just think this is a talent that's it's a little too rich to pass up. And I know a lot of it's a common pick to have a wide receiver go here. I just think at some point you gotta stop getting too cute with it. You gotta keep Burrow upright. He's been hit way too much coming off that season ending injury. So protect the franchise.
Yeah, the Olu, I don't want to say hate because I don't think anybody hates him around the league. Him getting pushed down, I feel like Mox is kind of ridiculous. I mean, look at this guy over the last 2 years. This guy would have been a top 10 pick last year, most likely. He's had two bad games, basically, in his entire career, both coming against Ohio State. The tape is just awesome when you turn on the film. So I really like this. I think he definitely beats out at least one of these guys for a tackle spot. So I like the pick here and the fit here for Cincinnati. Dean, you're on the clock here at 19 with the LA Rams.
Yeah.
Wait, trade.
Who knew?
Everyone up. So, yeah. In this one, I got the Rams trading back with the Bills. They're trading 19 and 99 to 428, 60, and 133. Definitely a pretty penny, but they go up to get their guy in Brian Thomas Jr., wide out for the Tigers. And I just think this makes a ton of sense. I feel like obviously since Diggs has now departed, and as you know, even if he wasn't going to depart, I feel like going up and getting a guy, you know, this room is deplete of talent. It has two fifth rounders right now slated to start in Khalil Shakir and Justin Shorter is just really crazy with his shirt off. So I definitely not going to be a guy that
shout out State.
Yeah, shout out State. Definitely not a guy you want starting on your NFL team. They do have Curtis Samuel, which they added in this offseason, which I thought was great for them. But now they need to go get someone who's just explosive, deep threat, who can consistently get 50-50 balls and blow past people. He's proven he has the long speed and the acceleration to make it at the next level. So Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, I actually really like this for the Bills moving up. They're not strapped for draft spots, but I think if they have the opportunity to move up, I think they will. They acquired that extra second round pick in next year's draft with the Stephon Diggs trade, but this year they have 28, they have 60, they have no third round picks. And then they have 128 and 133 in the fourth round. And this team, honestly, even with Josh Allen, like this team needs a lot of help right now. They let a lot of guys walk in free agency just because the cap started to just catch up with them. So I'd be very curious to see what they do. I think they are an interesting trade-up team. I think they need to be aggressive to go get their wide receiver one. All right, I'm on the clock here at pick 20 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I got them taking Troy Fautanu from Washington, the tackle, guard, whatever you want to call him. I love this fit, honestly, in Pittsburgh. They need offensive line help bad. They got some really good play out of Roger Jones last year. I think this could be either your left tackle of the future or you could play him in the interior. They need some more nasty guys up front. And I think Fautanu is a top 15 player in this draft. He's one of my guys. So I love this fit, getting him at 20 here. Troy Fautanu from Washington.
Yeah, I like that fit as well. It seems like a real Steelers guy.
All right, let me go through these last 10 picks, and then we'll keep it rolling in the first round. So at 11, this is where the Chargers traded back with the Minnesota Vikings to get their wide receiver, Roman Dunze. Denver on the clock at pick 12, taking quarterback Bo Nix. 13, the Tennessee Titans traded back with the Las Vegas Raiders to take Jerzon Newton, interior defensive lineman from Illinois. At 14, the New Orleans Saints took offensive tackle J.C. Latham out of Alabama. At 15, the Indianapolis Colts took Dallas Turner, edge from Alabama. At 16, the Seattle Seahawks took offensive tackle Talize Fuaga from Oregon State. At 17, the Jacksonville Jaguars took Leatu Latu, edge from UCLA. 18 was the Cincinnati Bengals taking offensive tackle from Penn State, Olu Fashanu. At 19, the LA Rams trade with the Buffalo Bills. They're swapping 19 and 28. The Bills are taking their wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. And then at 20, the Pittsburgh Steelers taking Troy Fautanu from Washington, the offensive lineman. Ray, you're on the clock here at pick 21 with the Miami Dolphins.
This one's easy for me. I'm going Graham Barton from Duke, the offensive lineman. The Dolphins just re-signed Isaiah Wynn and Robert Jones to cheap one-year deals. So I think he can slide into either one of those guard spots. And then Teron Armstead misses time every year. So in a pinch, he can play left tackle spot too. I think it makes all the sense in the world. The only spot I was considering doing otherwise was maybe attacking that cornerback position. I think only one's gone off the board so far. But I just think this is a team that needed to get tougher in the trenches already. So I think that it's about time. They got to get tougher up front.
Yeah, I like this. Honestly, if Fautanu was gone at pick 20, I was taking Barton, and that's kind of how it was going, vice versa. I feel like those two guys kind of are moving together in a lot of draft spots. Dino, you're on the clock here at 22 with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, for the Eagles, I think this is an easy pick. I think you have your pick of the litter for the corners right here, but the Eagles really struggled against the pass last year. So why not just get one of the best lockdown guys in the draft in Nate Wiggins out of Clemson? He's not my CB1, but I really like that he just brings great size and length and a guy who could definitely play man and I believe like a cover three in zone at a high level. And this Eagles team, they do like to play man, but they're one of the highest percentages for zone. So I feel like the length in Nate Wiggins is a pretty powerful attribute and why I would go with Wiggins over like a Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, I love Nate Wiggins. I feel like the play style of Terrion Arnold maybe fits like the city and the team a little bit better.
I agree. I was going back and forth on it.
But I can't hate it because I think Nate Wiggins is a really good player. I'm on the clock here at pick 23. This is the Chargers' second pick in the first round after trading with Minnesota. This is just an unbelievable haul for the Chargers. I got them taking offensive tackle Amarius Mims out of Georgia to go get Roma Dunze and to get Amarius Mims in this draft after trading out of 5 and then recouping a 2025 second round pick. I think it's just unbelievable value. Great job by the Chargers. Great job by me. I love this. I love this fit. He's going to slot in as a right tackle. And then your offensive line is pretty solid, honestly.
Yeah, no, I think you played that hand for the Chargers perfectly. I think.
No, why do you think I didn't pick up when New England called?
Yeah, I mean, a little unrealistic, but it's fine. that being said, I think Amarius Mims on this team would make so much sense. I think Harbaugh would love it.
All right, Ray, you're on the clock here at 24 with the Dallas Cowboys.
So I know Amarius Mims, I feel like, has been a popular mock for the Cowboys. They need offensive line help bad. Tyron Smith and Beaidaz both walked in free agency. So instead of going tackle, I'm going to go attack that center spot with Jaxon Powers-Johnson. It's a little high for me, but he's crazy powerful. I think him and Zach Barton playing next to each other really solidifies his offensive line. I think he gives off the Cowboys vibe. He's really gritty, tough, and will be a nice anchor in that offensive line.
Yeah, he's just a really good player, and I think he could play that guard spot if they needed him to. I think they could be their full-time starting center. They love these big offensive linemen too, so I like this. I think they also possibly need to look wide receiver, but in the first round where you just lost Tyron Smith and Tyler Beaidaz, Jaxon Powers-Johnson from Oregon, really good pick there for the Dallas Cowboys. Dean, you are on the clock here with the Green Bay Packers at pick 25.
Yeah, I love this pick for them. We obviously know that the left tackle position is a big question mark for them. It was last year as well with Bakhtiari being hurt, and now that he's officially gone and he was that staple for this O-line, they desperately need to fill in some pretty big shoes. And I feel like they get a home run here with Arizona's Jordan Morgan, who projects well as an NFL left tackle and just one of the guys that has one of the higher floors at the position here. Over 2,400 snaps in Arizona, and a guy who showed a ton of pass blocking prowess. And, you know, this team needs to, of course, protect Jordan Love, who is clearly growing and ascending, as we saw in the playoffs. And you can't have him get rattled, and you can't go away from bolstering this offense for him like you did for Rodgers. And then, obviously, you know what happens there.
Yeah. I know Tyler Guyton's still out here. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma hasn't been picked. Was the thought process picking Morgan here more of that he could play guard if they needed him to? He's got a little bit more versatility, I think.
They only have right now on their roster, I believe, a total of four interior O-linemen. So thanks for bringing that up, Sauce. I also love the versatility of this guy, but I genuinely really like the high floor value of him. Like we've talked about many times with Guyton, he could end up being, this is not being that exaggeratory, he could just randomly be the best tackle in this class and one that's star-studded and has studs on it. But Guyton obviously has a ton of the traits that you want. And this is actually a traitsy team, but I feel like they really only go traitsy for their defense. Offensively, I really like the floor pick here for Jordan Morgan.
Yeah, I like that.
And a guy I'm high on earlier.
Yes, I know Ray is still pretty high on him. I think I'm a little bit lower than you guys maybe, but I still think he's a good player and a player that if somebody took him in the back half of round one, I would be okay with it. He's got good traits, and I do think he's got some versatility to kick inside. I'm on the clock here at 26 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a place I kind of struggled with because they need some interior offensive line help. And there's, you know, like a Zach Frazier still hanging out there who I'm really high on. They could have used some edge help. They just haven't gotten much out of Treon Shroinka, however the fuck you say his last name. I think Yaya Diaby, who was a rookie last year, did some okay things for them. But they just traded Carlton Davis to the Detroit Lions. So I'm going corner here. I'm going Terrion Arnold. I think he kind of just fits exactly what they were getting out of Carlton Davis, that physical attacking style of corner. You pair him with Jamel Dean, and I think this secondary is still as good as it was last year. So Terrion Arnold from Alabama, I think he ends up going a little bit higher than this, but at 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think was good value.
Yeah, I'm curious where Terrion Arnold goes. He didn't really run as well as we anticipated to at the combine. I feel like teams love him, and like I feel like the media love him, but I just don't know how high he's going to go. I don't see him as a true number one corner, but maybe that's just me.
Maybe it is just you. All right, you're on the clock here at 27, Ray, with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to the secondary, actually. Arizona needs help there. I'm going Cooper DeJean. This is someone that can play corner, can play nickel, can play safety. Buda Baker's asked out, I feel like, a couple times. So who knows if he's going to be there long haul. They can always flip him. And if that's the case, you can play him at safety. If not, I think playing him across from Sean Murphy Bunting and then having a secondary of Murphy Bunting, Cooper DeJean, and Garrett Williams, I think that's pretty good, solid foundation. And they're all locked up for considerable time.
Yeah, I like this fit for Arizona. They need secondary help everywhere, honestly.
They just need help everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole defense, honestly. They need help along the defensive line, too. But Cooper Jean, really good player. Dean, you're on the clock here at 28 with the LA Rams, who traded with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. So the Rams now at 28, and the obvious elephant in the room for this draft is, and for the Rams, is just how do you replace future Hall of Famer Aaron Donald, of course? And, you know, you do have, you know, Kobe Turner, who had a great first year, third rounder last year, great rookie season, and that'll definitely help out. But you got to do a lot more than that. So I feel like they get an absolute steal here with Chop Robinson, shout out State, a guy who just has an explosive first step. I know he's not going to play the interior, obviously. I mean, he can be pushed in potentially, but he's going to be a guy you want on the outside rushing, and you're going to have to make up a lot of pass rush win percentages that obviously, you know, Aaron Donald was bringing to the table for this team. And getting Chop Robinson on the outside is I believe, a great first step of rebuilding this D-line.
Yeah, this is definitely not a guy I'm pushing inside.
No, you're not. I kind of was trying to rescind from that. I was saying,
no. Okay.
Wait, I blacked out like I typically do when Dean talks. He just said put Chop Robinson inside.
No, I said this guy isn't an interior D lineman, you know, not the same position as Aaron Donald, but it's a great first step to rebuilding this D line. I misspoke.
Okay, that's not what he
said.
Obviously
not. He's like
right. You can listen
like
back
250 pounds. You're not putting him on the inside.
That being said, you did. I think you did say, was it which Herbig? Is it Nick or Nate that got drafted last year?
Nick.
Yeah,
Nick.
I think he called him a 5-tech last year. So you have a tendency to do that.
No, I did not call him a 5-tech.
I'll pull that one up.
Yeah,
I can pull that one up for sure. I know exactly what episode it was.
Pull it up.
I will.
I misspoke. Okay. Obvious there.
Chop, I think this is good value here at the bottom end of round one. I think they're a little light with their edges, him and Byron Young, but I mean, that's good juice off the edge, and I think they do need help there. So Chop, if he can grow into the player that he should be, this is really good value here at 28 for the Rams. I'm on the clock here with my Detroit Lions. Yeah, my Detroit Lions, right? You like that. I know we've talked about edge so much here, and Chop honestly would have been the pick for me here. I know you love the fit with Darius Robinson, and I do too, but I've talked about it. I love them taking wide receiver here. I'm going A.D. Mitchell here for the Detroit Lions. I think he fits so well with what they want to do. They get a big physical presence down the field and a big physical presence in the red zone. I think their offense, while it started to take off last year, I think it just completely explodes this next year, and they're a real threat to win the NFC. All right, Ray, you're on the clock here at 30 with the Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens could go in a variety of different ways. I know wide receiver is a common pick for them in mocks. They lost both their guards, so you can see them attack that offensive line. But I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback from Alabama. I just think he's a press cover man corner, physicality, good length, ran better than people expected. I think he's someone that the media in general is a little lower on. I think this is good value. I think him across from Marlon Humphrey really solidifies the back end of that defense.
Yeah, I'm also higher on him than I think media is too. If he went to Baltimore, like, he would play so well in their scheme, just attacking physical style corners. I love it. Dino, you're on the clock here at pick 31 with the San Francisco 49ers.
Trade. Another blockbuster. We got the Patriots trading up into the first round.
Love it. Love it.
I love this. This is my favorite trade of the draft. And
yeah, this is my favorite pick from you. This is my favorite pick from you. The whole mock.
Really, out of all those really good ones.
Yeah. Well, it was between this and Jerzon Newton.
Jimmy Newton. Nice. I love that. Anyway, so I got San Fran trading back with again the Patriots. They're gonna trade 34 and 137 for 31, and that obviously the Patriots are trading 34 and 137 for 31. So San Fran's just adding on a fourth rounder and just moving back, you know, three spots. And Patriots, they're going to come up and get Michael Penix, the absolute just throwing machine. A little bit older, obviously lackluster championship game, but it's just crazy to me how awesome and stellar this guy was. Obviously he had some durability issues as well, but you just saw the grit, him playing through that injury in that championship game, and obviously it didn't pan out the way you want, but you know, in another world where he makes a few throws and he's not as injured, we're talking about guys taking him, you know, people taking him in the middle of the first. And I still think he could be that player. I think this is a great pick for the Patriots, who just have right now. I think they have obviously Jacoby Brissett starting for them right now. So Penix could wait a little bit if you want. He is going to be fairly NFL ready, in my opinion. And then on top of that, and we talk about it all the time, team coming into the first at the back end of the first to get that quarterback to ensure that fifth year option, a very lucrative fifth year option where you could lock them down for on the cheap and, you know, potentially create a, you know, Super Bowl roster around them. And this Patriots depth chart, there this roster is not bad. It still has guys littered all around it. Obviously, they need bad help at receiver. The receiving options are very, very light, but this is a team that won't be that bad.
Yeah, I think they're going to be bad, but I love this pick.
The defense is they're pretty solid.
Their defense is good, but I think this offense is really going to struggle this year. But I do love Michael Penix. I do love moving up for him in the first round. Got to go get your guy. I mean, Michael Penix is walking into the AFC East. He'll be the second best quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers.
Nice.
You like that one?
I love that one.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, let me round out the first round here with the Kansas City Chiefs. I got them taking Xavier Worthy. I didn't know which receiver to take here. I thought about Troy Franklin, too, who I actually have ranked higher than Xavier Worthy, but I feel like they're just going to be in love with his speed. I know that they signed Hollywood Brown, too, so you just have small, fast guys running everywhere, but I think it kind of works for them, and honestly, Patrick Mahomes can make a lot out of nothing. So Xavier Worthy here out of Texas going at pick 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, that's a typical Kansas City Chiefs coveting speed. So get back to their old ways, get a little bit more dynamic on offense. I like the idea.
All right. I'm going to run through this whole first round and then let's go to the second round. We'll try to speed it up a little bit in the second round. So at the 101, the Chicago Bears taking quarterback Caleb Williams. 2, the Washington Commanders took quarterback Drake May. At 3, the New England Patriots traded with the New York Giants. The Giants moving up for wide receiver 1, Marvin Harrison. At 4, the Arizona Cardinals taking Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU. At 5, the LA Chargers traded with the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings trading up for their quarterback, J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. At 6, this is where the Patriots move back to, taking offensive tackle Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. At 7, the Tennessee Titans traded with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders moving up for their quarterback from LSU, Jaden Daniels. At 8, the Atlanta Falcons took the first corner off the board, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. 9 was the Chicago Bears and their second pick of the first round, taking edge out of Florida State, Jared Verse. The Jets round out the top 10 with tight end Brock Bowers. At 11 was where the Chargers moved back with the Minnesota Vikings, getting their wide receiver Roman Dunze out of Washington. 12 was the Denver Broncos taking quarterback out of Oregon, Bo Nix. 13, this is where the Tennessee Titans moved back with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Titans taking Jerzon Newton, interior defensive lineman from Illinois. At 14, the New Orleans Saints taking offensive tackle J.C. Latham. 15 was the Indianapolis Colts taking edge from Alabama, Dallas Turner. 16 was the Seattle Seahawks taking Talize Fuaga from Oregon State, the offensive lineman. 17 was the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Leatu Latu, edge from UCLA. 18 was the Cincinnati Bengals taking offensive tackle from Penn State, Olu Fashanu. 19, the Rams and the Bills traded. The Bills moving up to pick number 19 here to draft their wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. 20 was the Pittsburgh Steelers taking Troy Fautanu, offensive lineman from Washington. 21 was the Miami Dolphins taking Graham Barton, offensive lineman from Duke. 22 was the Philadelphia Eagles taking cornerback Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. 23, this was the second pick that the Chargers traded for with the Minnesota Vikings. They're taking offensive tackle from Georgia, Amarius Mims. 24 was the Dallas Cowboys taking Jackson Powers Johnson, interior offensive lineman from Oregon. 25 was the Green Bay Packers taking Jordan Morgan from Arizona, the offensive lineman. 26 was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking cornerback from Alabama, Terrion Arnold. 27, the Arizona Cardinals also went corner, taking Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. 28 is where the Rams and the Bills traded. So the Rams are on the clock here at 28, taking Chop Robinson, edge from Penn State. 29 was the Detroit Lions, taking A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver from Texas. 30 was the Baltimore Ravens, taking Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner from Alabama. 31, the San Francisco 49ers and the New England Patriots traded. The Patriots moving up in the from the second round at pick 34 to pick 31. And they're drafting quarterback of the future, Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. And then at 32, the Kansas City Chiefs taking wide receiver out of Texas, Xavier Worthy. Good stuff on the first round, boys. Ray, you are starting us up in the second round with the Carolina Panthers, who did not have a first round pick.
Yeah, good job, Sauce. That was tiring listening to.
I'm always impressed how you do that.
Honestly. Yeah, thanks, brother.
Especially
thanks,
with all the amount you smoke, man. That was like, oof.
I'm a pro.
The lungs were going to be on fire.
I am a pro's pro. An industry leader, right? They don't say that for nothing.
Okay, so Carolina's on the clock here. This is a common pick for a wide receiver, but for me, I'm going to continue the O-line overhaul. I'm going to go Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia. They signed Damian Lewis from Seattle and Robert Hunt from Miami this year, this past offseason. And then Austin Corbett is their current center. He's coming off a bad knee injury last year of his contract. So just complete the overhaul. You got to protect Bryce Young. So I think with him at the center spot, this offensive line looks really strong. And then maybe with that second round pick, you can kind of address a skill position player to get another weapon in there for them.
Yeah, I really love Zach Frazier. I have Zach Frazier pretty high up on my board. I think this is probably where I would have went Troy Franklin, but I cannot knock you because they also have that 39th pick formerly from the Giants. So I like Zach Frazier here, and that offensive line is looking really good from what they had last year. Dino, you're on the clock here with the San Francisco 49ers who traded out of the first round with the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think they trade back and still get their guy here, and that's going to be Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, wide out. And this guy just has insane measurables and highly, highly productive, and a guy who's going to give his all every snap of football he gets. And obviously we know that with Brandon Ayuk being on his last year of his deal, and then he's going to be an unrestricted free agent in 2025, that he's most likely going. Obviously, we've heard a ton of reports that he's potentially being traded. He still might be. And I feel like that this is a great answer to that, as well as Debo, who's, you know, also very injury prone. So get another wide receiver in there for the Golden Boy.
Like
Golden Boy's Brock Purdy, by the way.
Heard. I'm on the clock here at 35 with the Arizona Cardinals. I got them taking Byron Murphy, interior defensive lineman from Texas. I thought a 27 could be a spot where they could also draft Byron Murphy, but to then go and get Cooper DeJean, and then you still get to add Byron Murphy, I think it was great value for them. I think Byron Murphy is a first-round player somewhere along in like the 20s. I think he's going to end up going, but really athletic, really strong, gives you some pass rush upside, which they desperately need along that defensive line. So at 35, Byron Murphy out of Texas for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals have a hell of a draft in this scenario.
Great draft for the Cardinals so far.
And with, what, like three more picks in the third round or whatnot? So.
Oh, yeah. Ray, you're on the clock here at pick 36 with the Washington Commanders, who took Drake May in the first round.
So I was contemplating between getting another weapon for Drake May or some protection. I went with protection, as my bias usually forces me to. I'm going Kingsley Suatamia. I think I just absolutely butchered it, but. Whatever. This guy who's played left tackle and right tackle the last couple of years. I think he's an athletic freak who really does have upside as well. And he's got a lot of starting experience. So I think he can play either of those tackle spots and develop into a nice solid starter for them.
Yeah, I like Kingsley. He's a good player. I mean, he's raw as hell right now, but he is a freak on tape, man. The way he can get out and run, and he's got some pop in his game. I think it might take a year or two with him, but I think he's a really good player. And for Washington, obviously, resetting the quarterback clock and their overall timeline, I think that's okay for them.
Quick question. Who do you think is more raw, him or
Guyton? I actually think Guyton's more raw.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think Guyton's more raw, but obviously I think Guyton has a much higher upside. Okay, Dean, you're on the clock here with the LA Chargers, who, if I do say so myself, as the GM of the last two Chargers picks, are just absolutely fucking killing it.
Yeah, I think I killed it as well. I think
you fucked it up.
Oh, I think I killed it.
I'm just kidding.
They obviously got Herbie some protection with Amarius Mims prior, and then their first pick, they got him a lethal weapon in Rome. I was really thinking about just doubling down on weapons, grabbing Roman Wilson. I feel like that's definitely something Jim Harbaugh would do. Get a Wolverine in there. But this defense, especially the back half of this defense, is honestly not great, and it has barely any depth to it as well. They were bottom three, bottom four pass defense last year. And prior to that, they were bottom five. So they've been hovering around there for the past 3 years. And I think getting Ennis Rakestraw, corner out of Mizzou, who's just a twitched up guy who I believe could start probably day one, or if he needs to play some meaningful snaps early for sure. I feel like that would be great for this defense.
Yeah, I like it. Ennis Rakestraw, good player, and I think they need help in the secondary for sure. I'm at pick 38 here with the Tennessee Titans, who took Jerzon Newton in the first round. And by God, they had an absolute gift fall to them in the second round. Tyler Guyton not scooped up in the first round. I'm going to take Tyler Guyton here out of Oklahoma. They desperately need tackle help. And Tyler Guyton either playing right tackle or left tackle to start the season. Again, he's another guy. It might take a little bit to get him going, for him to really grow into the player that he's going to be. But I think once he hits his stride, and this is, he's going to a team with excellent offensive line coaches. So I think this is a great landing spot for him, who he needs a little help to grow into the player that he needs to become.
Yeah, it's good. Honestly, really good landing spot for Tyler Guyton. He can be coached up by Callahan. And I think getting the second round, having passed on offensive line in the first, you can't hope for a better outcome than this.
Right. All right, Ray, you're on the clock here with the Carolina Panthers again.
Yep. So I just went with the center, Zach Frazier, last pick. I'm going to go with a weapon here, but not a wide receiver. I'm going JT Sanders, the tight end from Texas. I really love this fit. Hayden Hurst is no longer with the team. Their starting tight end is projected to be Tommy Tremble or Ian Thomas. It's not really a difference maker. I think you got to give Bryce Young a nice security blanket. JT Sanders is someone who can stretch the seam, and he's a real good red zone threat for this offense that has a little bit smaller wide receivers outside of Jonathan Mingo. So I think he fits really well with what they have already, and I think it really balances out this offense.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I still think they need wide receiver, but I know you love JT Sanders, so can't knock you for going to get your guy.
I think they can also afford to wait on wide receiver. I mean, they just sent their second round pick last year on Mingo. They traded for Deontay Johnson. Thielen had a really good year last year, so they definitely could use another one, but I don't think it's like the most necessary thing in the world right now.
Oh, I do. I'm on the clock here. Dean's on the clock here at pick 40 with the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I love this pick for them. They went offense with their first two picks, getting Drake May and some protection with Kingsley. And now they have a defensive line that's been dominant for the past few years, has some absolute studs on it. Obviously, we're talking Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne on the inside. And then on the outside, they did have Montez Sweat and Young for a time when he wasn't injured. And now these passers, they obviously have the interior guys still who are amazing at creating pressure and stopping the run. But they really got to revamp the outside of this D-line that they tried to do in the offseason with the free agency. But, I mean, Cleveland Farrell's not going to get it done. They did get Dante Fowler and Dorrance Armstrong as well. But I feel like getting a young guy like Chris Braswell from Alabama would be awesome for them. A guy who just is going to be instantly incorporated in the rotation of pass rushers who could come in on third down and consistently win and create pressure.
Yeah, I'm a little lower on Chris Braswell than I think maybe the media and the NFL is. I'm very curious to see what the landing spot is for him. I actually do like this spot.
I think it's going to be a great spot for him.
For him in that Dan Quinn defense, I do like this spot. I have him outside my top 50, but I don't hate this landing spot. I feel like the edges start to fall off kind of like a cliff a little bit, especially after him and the Jonah Ellis's of the world. So don't hate this at all. I'm on the clock here at 41 for the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay took Jordan Morgan in the first round. I'm going corner here. I got them taking TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. I really like this fit. You get another young corner with Jair Alexander, who's gotten out in his deal after next year. And I know he's been a really good player for them, but he's been kind of a headache, I think, over the last year and a half. So bringing a guy like Tampa that you can have him learn from Jair Alexander for 1 year, and then maybe if you move off of him, he'll be your number one. I think he's got big upside with his just freaky body and freaky traits that, he's got. So 41 to Green Bay is TJ Tampa, corner from Iowa State.
Yeah, that's, you stole my pick for the Texans, so way to go on that one, dick shit.
Yeah, no, it was a good pick, if I do say so myself. Ray, you're on the clock here at pick 42 with the Houston Texans.
I'm going to go safety Tyler Newbin, so address that secondary still, despite it not being cornerback. Their safeties right now, Jalen Petrie, who's been really good the first 2 years of his career, and Jimmy Ward, who's more of a nickel, I feel like, is where he's better suited to play. So I think you can get Tyler Newbin, be that free safety center fielder type, and then you can let Jimmy Ward play his nickel where he's been a little bit more productive, in my opinion, or just as some depth safety. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Newbin, really good player, and I think him with Petrie, too, I think that's really good fit in that secondary on that back end. Dino, you're on the clock here at pick 43 with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get shit for this pick, but it ended up just being a BPA pick, in my opinion. I think that this team has pretty much talent everywhere. In their first pick, they addressed the need that I can only see being their only glaring one. They obviously have a great O-line. They had the best O-line last year. They have great trenches on both sides, actually. They get Quinyon Mitchell in the first round, and I know that they addressed the wide receiver position in free agency with Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore, but I just feel like that's not going to cut it. I feel like you just go out there and get an absolute beast in Troy Franklin, who should not be on the board still, and just have fun with it. I know he's going to be a kind of a similar guy to a Drake London, who they already have, and there's going to be a lot of mouths to feed with Kyle Pitts there as well, but I just thought this was a BPA kind of pick.
Yeah, I actually like the pick. Obviously, they paid Darnell Mooney a pretty penny, honestly, and they go trade for Rondale Moore, but that didn't cost them much with Desmond Ridder. Ray, how do you feel about this? For me, I would have been between Franklin, and I think they need some edge help still. I think Jonah Ellis fits really well. I know he's a little bit of a lighter guy for them, but in their like that 3-4 type of defense, him being a stand-up type of guy, I do like them adding just more speed on their offense, though.
Yeah, I mean, you can't complain about this pick. I think this is incredible value, and I think he really complements what this wide receiver room or skill position room already has. So I think it's a great pick.
Good job, Dean.
Dean, be more confident. Say it with your fucking chest next time.
Me?
Yeah, you were like, "Oh, I'm gonna get shit on."
I thought you guys were. I thought I said it with confidence, but I just thought you guys were gonna be cucks about it.
You would have loved that. All right, I'm on the clock here with the Tennessee Titans, who traded for this pick with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Titans took Jerzon Newton in the first round, and then they took Tyler Guyton with the first pick in the second round. I got them taking Ladd McConkey here, wide receiver out of Georgia. I love this, honestly. They need this slot role filled. I think Treylon Burks is kind of in this slot role, which he played a lot in college. He's that big power slot, but he has just not done much since he's been in the NFL. He's been banged up all the time. I think this trio of DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, and Ladd McConkey is dangerous. And I think for Will Levis, this is exactly the type of player that he needed over the middle to play the slot for them.
Yeah, I love that fit. I think we mentioned that on one of the other pods, too. I think that would be a good fit for them. So I think it makes all sense in the world.
Yeah, I know. Ray, you're on the clock here at 45 with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, so New Orleans is another team that could use a wide receiver. I'm going to address a different need. I'm going to go Marshawn Nealon, the edge from Western Kentucky. They love these big physical defensive ends. Cameron Jordan's probably on the last leg of his career, I would say. Chase Young, they signed to a one-year deal, but he's really been dealing with that neck injury. He hasn't really been the same type of player. So get another physical edge who can kind of develop. He doesn't have to get thrown right into the fire as a starter right away. I think having him sit behind Cam Jordan to start his career would be really good too. So he'll develop nicely, I think, in this situation.
Yeah, Nealon's an interesting one because I do feel like he fits what they've drafted over the past few years. I wonder if they're looking at edge again. The guy like Jonah Ellis maybe has a little bit more juice than Nealon, but I know we really like Marshawn Nealon too, so I think this is a good spot for him to land. Dino, you're on the clock here at 46 with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, taking a my guy here, and that's going to be Cole Bishop, safety from Utah. This is a little bit of a head scratcher, but in my head, I could definitely see it making a ton of sense. They did have Julian Blackman play his best year as a pro. He was formerly a free safety. They just kind of shifted him over to strong safety and playing a little bit more in that box area and played well. But this is a guy who can go back and be a little bit of that center fielder. And the free safety position was at best. I mean, they desperately needed that in the back end of that. They were very susceptible in the back end of that defense. So I genuinely feel like you bring Cole Bishop in, who has a ton of traits and just could be the best safety in this class by a lot, as we have, you know, as we talked about in our safety rankings. And you potentially kick Julian Blackman out to free safety, or you could even try Cole Bishop out there. I mean, he's going to have the speed. He has the acceleration to do whatever you want from him. And maybe you just make it a little chess piece game where you have both of them out there and they could do both.
Yeah, I really like Cole Bishop as a player, and I think this is actually a good spot for him. I think I would have been looking maybe wide receiver here. Are you comfortable right now with that wide receiver room with Alec Pierce as your third? I think they want to upgrade that third spot if they can.
Personally, I think Josh Downs brought a great element to that team, and hands up, I was way down on Josh Downs, like way down. I put the down and downs for sure and his rankings, but
nice.
I thought he was great. And I think Alec Pierce brings a great element too. I think those three are honestly set for them. I get giving depth, but I think Alec Pierce is fine as their third starter there for sure.
Okay. I'm on the clock here at pick 47 with the New York Giants. I got them taking cornerback Kamari Lassiter from Georgia. I mean, they're slated to, I think Cordell Flott is one of their starting corners right now. So this team desperately needs an upgrade in that secondary. They drafted Deontay Banks last year, who was up and down, but I think he started to play some good ball towards the end of the season. Kamari Lassiter is just a pro's pro. He's maybe a little undersized, but I think this dude is just going to be a great pro. You don't get on the field at Georgia as a young player without being tough and without being really smart. So I think this makes all the sense in the world. This is a guy I feel comfortable playing as my second corner. So Kamari Lassiter here for the Giants at pick 47. Ray, you are on the clock here at pick 48 with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ricky Pearsall from Florida.
Slick Rick.
Yeah, so about time he came off the board, as Dylan would probably say. They brought in Gabe Davis this offseason. They lost Calvin Ridley. So I think they still really want, but they made a push for Ridley. So I think they want to get another receiver in this room. So I think Ricky Pearsall can play inside, outside. And I think he's a nice blend of what they already have on the roster. I mean, Christian Kirk is an explosive, smaller guy. Gabe Davis is a bigger physical outside receiver. And Zay Jones is kind of like in between. So I think Ricky Pearsall added to this group gives them a nice diverse group of wide receivers.
Yeah, if Lassiter didn't go one pick before, would you have taken Lassiter?
No, wasn't even considering it.
Okay. I think they need corner help too, but
they definitely do.
You know me, I love me some Slick Rick. Dino, you're on the clock here at pick 49 with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, this one was easy in my opinion. I love the way the board fell to me, and obviously Ray addressed the protection with Olufoshanu in the first. So in the second, this needs to be a wide receiver, and that's going to be Roman Wilson. I think he fits perfectly to just slide into that slot position for them. Great in short and intermediate routes. He has great hands. You know, if you throw it to him, it's in his area. He's going to catch it, and you know, Trenton Irwin is not going to cut it for
You guys think that T. Higgins is on the roster come game one?
I have no idea. I feel like there was a ton of chatter heating up and then it just all died down. I mean,
Ray, what do you think?
What was the question again? Sorry.
Do you think T. Higgins is on the roster game one?
Yes.
Think he plays out this full season
tag? I think they extend him.
Do you?
Yeah, I think they come to terms.
I don't know. I'm struggling with that one. Jamar is about to get a stupid contract.
Yeah, I mean, but like
he's about to get like $35 million.
Yeah, he's gonna break all.
I just feel like I feel like he would have gotten traded already, but maybe I'm mistaken.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually kind of like their wide receiver room even without T. Higgins. I think Andre Yeshivas did some good stuff at the end of last year. And I think if they do add a guy in the second round, I think that's good. And we love us some Chuck Jones. Chuck.
Yeah, don't
forget. We love us some Chuck Jones too.
The fact that it took you that long to mention his name pissed me off.
I mean, Andre Yeshivas was played and Chuck Jones didn't play last year.
He was hurt.
What do you mean? I mentioned him. He was the second guy I mentioned.
Should have been the first.
How many fucking guys do you need me to mention? Their wide receiver room has six guys in it.
Should have been first. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I'm on the clock here at pick 50 with the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly took Nate Wiggins in the first round. I'm going linebacker here. A linebacker one off the board. Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M. This guy fits the scheme so well. He can be attacking, be violent behind that defensive line. And they just need upgrades in this linebacker room. They brought in Devin White, but it's only a one-year deal. And they weren't getting a ton out of N'Kobe Dean, who's a little undersized. So Edgerrin Cooper here at pick 50 for the Philadelphia Eagles. Ray, you're on the clock here at pick 51 for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, so the Steelers went with Troy Fatanu in the first round. I'm doubling down on offensive line here. I'm going Patrick Paul, the big left tackle from Houston. I'm a little lower on him than most people, but same. I think he's someone who he's got the crazy length that I think Pittsburgh really covets. And I think it allows him to do some flexibility with that offensive line. You can play Fatanu inside that where I think is his best position. And I think it really just solidifies his group and gets them to where they want to be as a ground and pound football team.
Yeah, I don't love Patrick Paul. I'm concerned about the movement skills, honestly. Ray, I was really thinking wide receiver here. Did it cross your mind? Because this wide receiver room is pretty barren. I mean, I think Calvin Austin's the second best wide receiver in this room.
It did cross my mind, but I think value-wise, I didn't see anything too crazy. So I think they can attack that later and maybe even on the veteran market. So,
gotcha. Dino, you're on the clock here at 52 with the LA Rams.
Yeah. Like I said, for their first round pick, where we took Chop Robinson, it's going to take a lot more than just one or even two guys to replace Donald. So as Ray said, I'm doubling down on D-line here, D-line trenches, and I'm going to go with the explosive, versatile interior D-lineman, Braden Fisk. And this guy's just jumping up boards. And I see some people talking about him as being a early second round guy, potentially even squeezing into the back end of the first, just of how explosive he is and kind of what he could bring ceiling wise as a pass rusher. And that's what you want. And that's what the NFL is constantly looking for is interior D linemen who could get pressure from the inside, obviously kind of revolutionized by Aaron Donald himself. So it seems fitting that they replace him with a guy who can potentially, you know, bring some hurries from the inside.
Yeah, this is just an attacking front now with all the speed they have up front.
I love this for Raheem.
I think they need some run stuffers for sure. But Braden Fisk, I love this. I love this player. He's top 50 player for me. And you bring in Chop and Fisk. I mean, that's just a whole lot of athleticism that you're bringing to this defensive line.
I do also want to say that, you know, Raheem Morris wanted to institute this, and Chris Shula, who's obviously the new DC since Raheem Morris has taken over the helm at the Falcons, that Chris Shula said that basically defensively and scheme wise, they're just going to basically follow suit and do everything that Raheem Morris had in place.
Like that. I'm on the clock here at 53. The Philadelphia Eagles are back on the clock. We've gone defense with the first two picks, taking Nate Wiggins and taking and Edgerrin Cooper. I'm going offensive here. I was thinking wide receiver here. There's offensive wide receiver room. Obviously, they have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, but Devontae Parker and Paris Campbell were the two signees this past offseason. I think they can stand to add another one in that room, but what we've seen from the Eagles is that they love to go out and get offensive linemen, even when they don't need it, and that's what I'm doing here. I'm grabbing my guy, Cooper Beebe, from Kansas State. I think he fits this gap scheme that they play really well. He can sit. They still have Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, and Tyler Steen along that interior. I think he could even push either Jurgens or Steen for one of those interior spots. So Cooper Beebe off the board at pick 53 for the Philadelphia Eagles. Ray, you're on the clock here at 54 with the Cleveland Browns. They have not had a selection, so this is the first one for Cleveland.
I'm going to go defensive tackle Chris Jenkins Jr., so bringing the Michigan guy to Ohio here. I think Cleveland just needs to get tougher in the interior, and I think there is some untapped pass rush potential with Chris Jenkins' game. So I think this is insane value. I think he'll be a starter from day one. I think and him and Dalvin Tomlinson on the inside as the run stuffers, it's going to be a really hard front to run on. So I think this really solidifies his defense and just makes them a little bit more well-rounded.
Yeah, I like that pick. Dino, you're on the clock here at 55 with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, so the Finns addressed the interior of that O-line, or actually a pretty versatile offensive lineman in Graham Barton in the first. And with the second pick, I really thought that they should probably address the edge position. So I was going to do Jonah Ellis, who is my boy as well. Go Utes. Obviously, we saw them suffer a lot of edge injuries last year, which really cost them. But I saw Tez Walker out there, obviously the speed that he presents and just what this offense wants to do, and how outside of Waddle and Tyreek Hill, there's really not much else. I think Tyreek Hill's on the opposite side of 30 now. So I grabbed Tez Walker. I feel like it's a really fun pick. It's definitely a Mike McDaniel guy, and just get more speed out there. Just continue to be the fastest offense by legit a mile.
Fast. I can't knock you there. I'm on the clock here at pick 56. I got Keon Coleman coming off the board here. I think he ends up going higher than this, but honestly, this is about the range that I have him on my big board. I actually really like this fit for Dallas. This is a place where he doesn't need to be the focal point of the offense. They already have CeeDee Lamb. This wide receiver room is honestly pretty pathetic. Brandon Cooks is on the back half of his career. Jalen Tolbert's the number three. Also, do you guys know Martavis Bryant was on the Cowboys last year?
I didn't even know he was still playing.
He had 19 catches last year.
I thought he was in the UFL.
So did I. I was looking at their depth chart last night, and I was like, Martavis Bryant got run last year? So Keon Coleman here to Dallas. They took Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round. I still think they need some tackle help, but I didn't love the tackles that are available right now. And with the process that we have taking Jackson Powers Johnson, Keon Coleman here, it looks like Tyler Smith will then kick out to left tackle, which isn't the worst thing in the world. But Keon Coleman here just gives them an element on this offense that they weren't getting from like a Michael Gallup. So I think he fits that role pretty well. All right, Ray, you're on the clock here at 57 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, so I know when you were up with their first pick, you were contemplating between edge and corner. You ended up going with corner, Terrion Arnold, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to that edge position. I'm going to go Jonah Ellis from Utah that Dean just mentioned. I think this is different than what they kind of have done in the past to attack that edge position. I feel like Joe Tryon and Yaya Diaby were more just raw athletes that they want to develop. And you get someone like Jonah Ellis, who's so refined, has such a really refined pass rush approach, so many tools in the toolbox. I think it's a different pick, and I think it's going to be a little bit better, work out better for them. I think he'll be able to contribute very early on third downs right away and then have some time to develop into an every down type player.
Yeah, they've been waiting for any of those edge guys to develop.
I think that pick's a home run.
Yeah, I actually love this pick.
Home run.
Dino, you're on the clock here at 58 with the Green Bay Packers.
I additionally love this pick. For the Packers, we addressed the left tackle position in the first round with Jordan Morgan, the highly experienced guy out of Arizona, and could have went interior O-line here, but Kalen Bullock, the free safety from USC, true center fielder, was just staring me down. And this is a guy, again, who has a ton of traits, Raz through the roof, and that is what Green Bay uses strictly when they decide on defensive guys to draft, and it's worked out perfectly for them. This free safety position is probably the only, really the only spot they need to fill on this defense in this defense with the signing of Xavier McKinney, kind of shoring up the strong safety spot. So I think you go Kalen Bullock here, and this could be a home run for them with where a guy's just going sideline to sideline.
Yeah, this is a player that you're really high on, and they need help in that back end. So don't hate it. I'm on the clock here at pick 59 for the Houston Texans. Houston went Tyler Newbin in the first round. I'm also attacking the secondary here. I think they need some help here. I'm taking Mikey Sandstrill from Michigan to play their slot. I feel like he fits what D'Amico Ryans wants to do. He wants to be physical along that whole defense, even in the secondary. And they gave some shorter-term deals to some former first-round picks like Jeff Okuda, like C.J. Henderson. They still have Desmond King there, but I think his deal may be up after this year. I really love Mikey S. and what he brings in terms of his football IQ and his toughness into the slot for this team. So I really like this fit for Houston. All right, Ray, you're on the clock here with the L.A. Rams, who traded with the Buffalo Bills when the Bills were moving up for Brian Thomas.
Yeah, so this is a tough one for me. We've already attacked the defensive side of the ball for the Rams with their first two picks. I really wanted to try to bring a tackle in, but I just didn't like the value. So I'm going back to the defensive side of the ball. I'm going Javon Bullard, the safety nickel from Georgia. I think he's just a high-floor player, high IQ, and can really come in and help get this back end a little younger. They're up there in age, and they're kind of lacking talent. So he can play nickel. He can play that free safety next to Cam Curl. So I think it just elevates that back end a little bit. And this defense as a whole, it's a makeover. So I think it's going to turn out well for them.
Yeah. Like Javon Bullard here, the secondary needs help desperately. I mean, they're really devoid of any talent in that secondary. So can't hate it. And what they got, three picks in this
solid draft for the Rams.
Three defensive players. Their offense was definitely not the issue last year. So I like the complete makeover that they've had. Chop, Fisk, and Bullard. That's a pretty good haul. Dean, you're on the clock here at pick 61 with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, the Lions, they used their first pick in the first round to get A.D. Mitchell, another receiver for Goff. And with this second pick, this ended up kind of being a BPA scenario again. I feel like Braylon Trice will probably not be here. So I definitely got to take him. And Dan Campbell is going to be very excited about this one. It's just a guy who, honestly, they do a very, very unorthodox front where they kind of go 4-3 but still stand up some of their DNs. And I just feel like Braylon Trice in that role would be kind of fun to watch. He projects as definitely a guy who could potentially turn into a three-down guy. I know they have a fair bit of D linemen and a pretty – They got kind of depth there, but as we're seeing more and more in the NFL makeup, that a lot of these defenses are trying to run as you know, they're trying to run guys out and run guys on just over and over again, kind of keep them fresh, and so they could rush the quarterback and play at a high level.
Yeah, Braylon Trice, I think he's a good player, and I think he may end up falling into the third round. I think this guy is just going to play over his draft spot if he falls into the third round. Just really tough, really strong. This is a guy that never comes off the field, which I absolutely love. So Detroit, I think, loves that style of play too. So 61, Braylon Trice from Washington. I'm on the clock here at pick 62 with the Baltimore Ravens, who went Kool-Aid McKinstry in the first round. This team desperately needs to upgrade this offensive line. Ronnie Stanley has not been healthy last year. They lost John Simpson and Morgan Moses to the Jets in the offseason. I got them taking Dominic Pooney, the offensive lineman from Kansas. I think this could be sort of their Swiss Army knife, sort of what Patrick McCurry gives them right now. Patrick McCurry's most likely going to be a starter for them in this upcoming season, and I think Pooney could play all along that offensive line. Either he's playing at guard or maybe that right tackle spot he takes over. So Dominic Pooney at 62 for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I love that fit for them. I think that's a really good pick. I think he fits what they try to do in the run game and has that versatility you just mentioned.
All right, Ray, you're on the clock here at 63 with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to the well for them. I'm going Michael Hall from Ohio State. I just think he's tailor-made for this scheme. It's been a little bit since they've invested some draft capital that high on the interior of the defensive line. So they lost Javon Kinlaw. They lost Armstead, so go back to the well here and get someone who can really contribute on third down and wreak havoc a little bit.
Yeah. Michael Hall, good fit in this scheme for sure. Dino, round us out here. The Kansas City Chiefs at pick 64.
Yeah, the Chiefs this year are going to be running out Wanya Morris, former third round, as their left tackle.
And Wanya.
Obviously, we're not entirely sure how that's going to pan out. So I feel like right now with their second pick, their first pick addressing wide receiver position, I feel like now adding a little bit of depth and even a potential starter on that for that left tackle position in Blake Fisher out of Michigan, I think is out of Notre Dame, I think is a great idea. A former five-star and a guy who could be an instantaneous depth piece who might even win a spot.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see these secondary tackles starting to get moved up a little bit. I'm talking about Blake Fisher, who obviously has Joe Alt on the opposite side of him, and then also Roger Rosengarten from Washington, who had Troy Fautanu on the opposite side. I think both those guys have had pretty big rises, and I think both those guys end up as either second or third round picks.
I'm happy you brought out Rosengarten, because that's kind of those were the two I was thinking here. I ultimately leaned Fisher, just kind of more for his pedigree. But even though Rosengarten really tested really well, as you know, but he's just not as long. And I feel like that is obviously a big question mark when you move up to the next level.
Right. I'm going to read through this whole second round and then we can get the hell out of here, because your boy's starving. So pick 33, the Carolina Panthers, who did not have a first-round pick. They took interior offensive lineman Zach Frazier. At pick 34, the 49ers traded with the New England Patriots. The Patriots were moving up for Michael Penix Jr. The 49ers select wide receiver from South Carolina, Xavier Leggett. Arizona at pick 35, taking interior defensive lineman Byron Murphy from Texas. Washington at pick 36, taking Kingsley Suamatia, offensive tackle from BYU. At 37, the LA Chargers taking Ennis Rakestraw Jr., corner from Missouri. At pick 38, the Tennessee Titans get their tackle of the future, Tyler Guyton, out of Oklahoma. At pick 39, the Carolina Panthers again on the clock, taking JT Sanders, tight end from Texas. At 40, the Washington Commanders also have another pick in the second round, taking Chris Braswell, edge from Alabama. At pick 31, the Green Bay Packers attacking the secondary with TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. 42 was the Houston Texans taking safety Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota. Pick 43 was the Atlanta Falcons taking wide receiver Troy Franklin from Oregon. Pick 44 was the Tennessee Titans. This is a spot that they traded with the Las Vegas Raiders when the Raiders were moving up for their quarterback, Jaden Daniels. The Tennessee Titans taking wide receiver from Georgia, Ladd McConkey. 45 is the New Orleans Saints taking Marshawn Nealon, edge from Western Michigan. 46 was the Indianapolis Colts taking safety Cole Bishop out of Utah. 47, the New York Giants taking Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia, the cornerback. 48 was the Jacksonville Jaguars taking wide receiver from Florida, Ricky Pearsall. 49 was the Cincinnati Bengals, Roman Wilson, wide receiver from Michigan. At pick 50, the Philadelphia Eagles taking Edrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M. 51 was the Pittsburgh Steelers taking Patrick Paul, offensive tackle from Houston. 52 was the LA Rams taking Braden Fisk, interior defensive lineman from Florida State. 53 was the Philadelphia Eagles again taking Cooper Beebe, interior offensive lineman from Kansas State. 54, the Cleveland Browns with their first pick of the draft taking Chris Jenkins Jr., interior defensive lineman from Michigan. At 55, the Miami Dolphins add some more speed with wide receiver Tez Walker out of UNC. 56, the Dallas Cowboys take Keon Coleman, wide receiver from Florida State. At 57, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers add Jonah Ellis, edge from Utah. At 58, Green Bay gets another piece in the secondary with safety Kalen Bullock out of USC. 59, the Houston Texans take cornerback Mike Sanderstill out of Michigan. At pick 60 was the LA Rams. This was where the Bills traded up for Brian Thomas. The Rams collecting pick 60, taking Javon Bullard, safety slot out of Georgia. 61 was the Detroit Lions taking edge Braylon Trice. 62 was the Baltimore Ravens taking offensive lineman Dominic Pooney out of Kansas. 63 was the San Francisco 49ers taking interior defensive lineman Michael Hall out of Ohio State. And then 64, the Kansas City Chiefs adding offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, Blake Fisher.
Good job again, Sauce. That was a tough one.
Good stuff, boys. Ray, you want to give us some shitty picks from Dean?
Trezon Newton comes to mind immediately. let me see another one. I could throw a dart and hit
there's
one.
There's too many to count?
Yeah. Nate Wiggins to Philadelphia. I'll go with that. It was the second shitty one by Dean.
Okay, good stuff.
What about you? Come on, throw some shitty ones out for Dean.
For Dean?
Yeah.
I mean, I got a question.
Yeah.
I got a question.
I mean,
Okay. I'm not muted. Okay. Question. Would you rather JC Latham and Braden Fisk or Jimmy Newton and Tyler Guyton?
For Tennessee?
Yeah.
I'd rather Latham.
Yeah. Latham and Fisk.
Cause they fucking killed it. I think they killed it.
Oh, they did kill it. But I mean, no thanks to you. Thanks to me.
You got picked up.
Thanks to me. I traded. I got them that second rounder.
No, Dean. It doesn't happen when you make the first pick. It's like you fuck up and then I save you.
No, they went back in the draft, got some assets. Still, I knew there was going to be a guy like Guyton out there right around that spot.
Of course you did.
Fucking yeah. And dude, and Ladd McConkey, they killed it.
Again, thanks to me. All right, well, let's get out of here because I can't look at Dean's face anymore. That's going to wrap it up for us here on Between Two Tackles. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed our mock draft 5.0. We're going to have one more mock draft, our final predictive mock draft right before the draft. So stay tuned for that. As always, please rate and subscribe to the pod and follow our Twitter at Two Tackles with the number 2. You can also find us on underdogpodcast.com and stick with us as we head towards the 2024 NFL draft. Ray, my friend, Dino, appreciate you.